Okay, it's good to see all of you. They gave me a topic to speak about. Originally, it was raising children to be B'nai Torah. So, but they changed it. They listened to me. And because I felt that was rather discriminating against the girls, because what are you going to say? Raising children to be B'nai Torah? I heard of a Ben Torah. I never heard of a Bas Torah. So the title was changed to Raising Children to be Ovdei Hashem. But I would like to add the original Ovdei Hashem just want to set my phone. So one thing you should not give your children is phones, so then they will. So the title was Raising to B'nai Torah. Ovdei Hashem, but the centrality of their avdus, of their avodah, is Torah. If it's boys, it's to be learning Torah, and it's to be girls, it's to be supportive of Torah, but that has to be the center of the avodah to Hashem. So, what does it mean to raise children? So raise, as the English word raise, perhaps in Hebrew, megadel, but raise, so it brings it to mind, you know, raising, like, you know, you raise crops. You raise crops? You raise cattle. So how do you raise crops? What do you do? Like, so you plant the seed, but you can't force the crop to grow. It's like, all you can do is you water it, you weed, remove the weeds, you add fertilizer. But you're raising crops means you provide the environment in which the crop will grow. The same thing with cattle. You're raising cattle. People, farmers, they raise cattle. What do you mean they raise cattle? They can't create the cattle, but what they do is they provide the needs, what the cattle needs. The food, the hay, the shelter, and all the other things that they inject into the cattle today. You know, not GMO, GMO. But what you do is, but you can't create the cattle unless make a copy of the cattle. But the actual raising of the cattle, you just provide the environment. I think that's a very good way to describe about raising children. You raise children means, I think the most important thing is, you can't make the child into become an Eved Hashem. You can't force him to be an Eved Hashem. You know, a building, you put bricks and mortar and bricks, and then you have a building. But with crops and food and cattle, you've got children, the same thing. You can't make them. What you can do is provide the environment. And sometimes we make a mistake, and we'll try to force them to be what we imagine, what we'd like them to be. And you can't do that. Sometimes parents make that mistake. You know, European parents who suffered and went through great hardships, and then they had their children, so they wanted their children to be what they couldn't be. That's where the original, my son the doctor, you know, my son the lawyer, right? Because they wanted their children not to have to go through what they went through. Just on the side, my father, Oshon, you know, he was a Litvak and he worked hard his whole life, and he was a very extremely intelligent person, but he never was able to use his mind, his brain, for the work that he was. So he's always wanted me to be, you know, the doctor, the lawyer, accountant, and I feel originally I disappointed him. I became the Rebbe. That's being a good Litvak to him. That was fine. It was, you know, as long as we learn Torah, that's okay. So Rabbi Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Lachem, Rabbi Weinberg gave a moshel, not more a moshel. He from the pasuk like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the rock. He said, "V'dibarto el haselah, speak to the rock, v'nosan meimov, and it'll give its water." You talk to it, and it will give, and not it, it'll give from itself its water. And what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. He hit it. And what happened? Vayetsu mayim. And it didn't give its water. You hit it, you force it, the water will come out. But it won't be the same as hitting the rock, as talking to the rock. And the rock should give from its own kayach, its own decision to give the water. And that's really what he said is very Yisrael in Chinuch. Really, it's a Shloah HaKadosh. The Shloah asks a Kasha. He says, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem spoke to Yaakov Avinu, he says, okay, time to leave. You got to go, leave Lavan and go, and it's time to move on. So what does Yaakov Avinu do? He calls Rachel and Leah, and he asks them, you know, are you ready? What do you say about this? So they give their answer, we should go, we have no sheikhs anymore to our father. So Shaw says, the Rav Shem comes and speaks to us. The Rav Shem says to me, go. You have to go, it's time to leave. You don't say, you ask your wife, are you ready? Do you want to go? You know, you'll ask it before you make a decision, but if the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells you what you have to do. So the Shlosh says this, Yesoid, that it's better that you explain to them why we should go, and they want to go voluntarily. That is far better than you force them to go. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon and the Maharal, both in the Vilna Gaon, on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Evchanech Na Adar Pidakoi, and the Maharal in the Agadas and Gittin, both say the same thing, that if you force a child to do against his will, you force him, you'll be successful as long as he's under your control. But once he leaves your control, not only won't he do what you want him to do, he will go the opposite direction. And he brings rise from Nero, who became a ger. When you're forced to do something, and that's a yisoid in chinuch, the Gaon says, if you force a child to do something he doesn't want to do, then he will rebel when he's no longer under your control, and he'll go the opposite direction. So what is the yisoid? What should we do? So in other words, all very nice to know what we shouldn't do. What should we do? So I think we have a good rai from Hanukkah. So the Gemara says that if a person is rogel b'neiros, then he will be zoicha to have sons who are talmidei chachamim. It doesn't say he will become a Talmid Chacham. He'll be zoicha to have sons who are Talmid Chachamim. What's the pshat? The pshat is because he's zoya in Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos is Shalom Bayis. If he's zoya in Ner Shabbos and Shalom Bayis, he's creating an atmosphere, a ruach in the Bayis of Shalom. And he's zoya in Ner Chanukah. He's creating the ruach of Chanukah, which we are going into detail now. But the Indian of Chanukah, when you light the nearest of Chanukah, you bring the Shekhinah into your house. You create that environment. Then the result will be that the children who grow up in such an environment will become Talmidei Chachamim. In fact, if you make such a ruach of Shalom Bayis, you know, we say Friday night Shabbos after davening, we say Talmid Chacham Marbim Shalom BeOlam. So things always go both ways. Talmid Chacham Marbim Shalom BeOlam. So if Talmid Chacham creates Shalom in the world, then Shalom is a chelik of being a Talmid Chacham. So it works the opposite way around. Also, if you create a ruach of Shalom, then the result will be Talmid Chacham. So our job is to create an environment that will be conducive to children growing up to be Ovdei Hashem and Bnei Torah in that sense. How do we go about this? So I'm thinking that the main thing is, we have to, what do I want my child to be? What's my goal? And then when I've decided what I would like him to be, then I have to see if that's feasible, and what can I do to create that situation, that avir, that he will grow into what I want him to be. One of the things that children do is they copy you. They copy us. And when children, for example, you know, all children like to dress up, right? They feel it's such a schmuck, you know, they put in their father's shoes, and they put in his jacket, and they put in his hat, and they walk around the house, and they feel it, because they want to copy. They look up to us, and they want to copy us. So the first you saw it is, we have to make them, we have to create the environment, and we have to do things that we want them to do. You want your son to learn. So there's a famous story that somebody went to the Chazonish, and he said, Rabbi, he says, my son comes home bein hazmanim, and he doesn't open up a sefer. What should I do? You know, I know, but he learns it. Why does he open up a sefer? So the Chazonish says, do you open up a sefer? Okay. He'll do what you do. If he sees you doing it, then he will himself come to do it. You know, we say, in davening, we want our children to daven, right? So, we've seen always the scene, you know, the father's screaming at his kid, daven, say the words, you know, and he stands over him, and the kid doesn't want to daven, and he falls, and then there's a whole argument. What does a father do? If he wants his child to daven, then he has to daven. And if he davens, and he doesn't hang outside, and he doesn't talk during, you know, father's talking during Kriyas HaTorah, and the kid's, no, daven, daven, you know, they will do what we do, that's what they will do. And it's like that in everything, it's the same thing with chesed. We want our children to be balei chesed. So what happens when there's a mesulach at the door? You know, how do we treat him? Besides the mitzvah, the inyan of hachnas orchim, but what effect does it have on our children? If we treat the mesulach like a chosh of a guest, come in, can I give you a drink, can I give you something to eat? Then the child picks up what it means to do chesed. Somebody calls up and says, can you do me a favor? Could you help me? So what's our response? If our response is, sure, what do you want me to do? And then, if it's not possible, so you say, but it's a nasi v'nishma. Yeah, I'm ready to help you. Tell me what you want. Oh, I really won't be able to do that. But our first initial response is, yes, I want to help you. As opposed to, can you do me a favor? Well, it depends. What is the favor? Then the child has picked up the chesed is not a most important thing. So nice, we can do chesed. But that's not the ikra of our lives. And those are the things that children pick up from their parents. And how they respond. We want our children to be honest. So we can tell them, yeah, it's not good, don't lie. But how do they pick up from us? Do we lie? Do we make up stories? Do we sign things that we didn't really see? You know, I hope you don't mind. Mechina gives out at the beginning of the year a rule book. And we don't make parents sign things that we know they're not going to give them. Please sign, you know, we will not have internet in our house. We do not have television. Because you make people into liars. But we do say the following. We give a list of rules and we say, please sign that you have read the rules. That's all I'm asking you, that you read it. You know, and it's not long things like, you know, we do that all the time with, you know, with an app. So you have to read, like, nobody reads it through. You know, yeah, you read all this and you sign, right? You go to the doctor's office and they give you pages to read, you know, and you have to sign at the bottom, I have read it. But we do that so the parent signs they have read it. That's dishonest. And the child knows that, because when the child does something that's not right, and I say to him, okay, you know, I never knew about it. I said, well, you did know about it. He said, how much? I said, it's because you signed the document that said, I have read the instructions. I didn't even ask you to sign that I accept them. Just sign that I have read them. That's all. And you know, but the child will pick up from you. How do you respond when somebody wants to talk to you on the phone and you don't want to talk to this person? So what do you say? You know, tell them I'm not available. It's fine. Tell them I'm not home. That's not good. Tell them I don't feel well. You have to. And the child will pick up every nuance that we do. That's not us telling him what to do or not what to do. It's what he sees we do. You know. He sees us. He sees how we talk. Let's say we get upset about something. How do we respond when the child does something wrong? So how do we respond? So do we lose it? We scream at him and we hit him because we were exasperated. And so what does he pick up from that? That when you're angry at somebody or upset with somebody, you scream at them and you hit them. So when the child goes to school and then the teacher sends back a note, you know, your son has been hitting his friends at school, where did that come from? Maybe because he's responding how we respond to him. But if you talk calmly to them and don't scream, then he will learn that that's how to speak to other people. These are the things that I think are so important, that just, you know, making a brief synopsis. But these are the things that make a difference, and raising children, I think that's the Yisoid Hadavar. The Yisoid is to create an environment, and not to force, but to create an environment that children will respond because they want to emulate us, and the ruach in the house is like that. And when we force them to do things and make them do it, they'll rebel in the opposite direction. So we have to create that environment that they will respond to and want to live up to it and do the right thing. And how we machshiv them, you know, in some schools they teach, you know, how do you teach midas? How do you teach midas? So it's a hardest thing to teach. I once saw somewhere I shared it with Robert Weinberg. It was in a London Jewish paper, and there was a midas competition, right? Who had the best midas? So the article starts off. The room was electric, the atmosphere. Who's going to win the Midas competition? Which is in itself like the opposite of what Midas is supposed to be. Like, who's going to win? So why don't we say in yeshivas and in schools you teach midas, you know? And I think the same thing applies to families and parents. What we're machshiv, that's what the child picks up is important. When we're machshiv good midas and we compliment a child because he does has good midas, then he knows midas are important to you. And we compliment him on his Torah, then he knows learning is important to you. And when we get upset with him for, you know, we get upset with kids. Something else, but let's say just things like phones or vaping, all the things that kids do, we get upset with them. They see, okay, that's something that's important that you shouldn't do. But how does that respond? Do we get the same upset that we have when they do things that are wrong in Ben Adam Malkum's? Do we get the same upset when they do things that are wrong in Ben Adam Chaveiro? Do we really get upset with a kid? Is that just as bad? Missing davening, terrible, and not doing well in shir, cutting out of shir, that's terrible. What about the Ben Adam? Sometimes we're not machshiv. This kid may be shvach in learning. He doesn't understand so well, but his midas are outstanding. Do we make a big deal about that? Does he get the cheshivas of having good midas? Where does that rate in the cheshivas of other things that we machshiv in yeshivas? So that really, I think, just really brief summary of what I think are the good things that to help us to manage children. But most of all, in the famous words that the Brisker Rav told of Chatzkan Abramsky, Chatzkan Abramsky raised his children in London in the 1900s, and it wasn't the most conducive atmosphere for growing in Torah, and his sons didn't all turn out the right way, and he was bewailing that fact to the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav says, Brisker Rav said, what makes it treren, tefillin treren, davening and crying to Hashem, that's really what makes a difference. And if the bottom line is we have to daven, we should have siyata shmaya, because children have their own bechira and they have their own decisions to make, and we can do the best we possibly can and follow every rule of the book, and still they don't turn out the way we would like them to turn out, we need siyata shmaya, and Hashem should give us all siyata shmaya in raising our children. They should become talmidei chachamim or oidei Hashem and machshiv Torah and learning Torah.